me tell you of the days of high adventure.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin.
And I am John.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look back at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies, and we're breaking them all the way down.
What up?
Hey, brother.
Hey, John.
Welcome to the podcast, man.
How the hell are you, buddy?
Man, I'm so good.
I am living large right now.
Are you really?
I'm loving whatever this bourbon is. Old Forester.
Oh, you're drinking the Old Forester 100 proof, right? It's a classic.
It's delicious. I've never had it before.
It's a classic. If you are a bourbon aficionado and you're looking to not spend a lot of money, but you want a high quality product, go out and find yourself a bottle of Old Forester.
My mind is blown. Usually my low key go-to has been Four Roses.
Yeah.
Or Four Roses small batch.
Yeah.
I feel like this is, I don't know.
It's tasty.
It's on par.
It's a tasty product for not a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking a Neon Moon from our friend at Eureka Heights Brewery. Ooh. Here in Houston, Texas.
From the Neon Moon.
From the Neon Moon. When the sun goes down on my side of town, that lonesome feeling comes. All right, anyway, sorry.
I want to find a honky tonk girl.
Yeah. Well, you've come to the right place, my friend. Tejas is the place of honky tonkin. Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
This is 6 Degrees.
This is 6 Degrees.
We talk about action movies here.
Yeah, we'll get to it eventually. Well, we're excited to be, we're in the home stretch of our series of True Lies.
Fucking A.
Welcome, welcome, welcome every guest. It's been a nonstop action thrill ride starring our boy Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, dude, fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger and James Cameron. Like, is there a more iconic action team?
The duo is flawless. They need to do something else before they can't do something else anymore.
That's a fucking great call. Stick Arnie in a fucking Avatar 4 or whatever the fuck.
We recently had an idea for Arnold Schwarzenegger needs to be in a Western set here in Texas because there was
like an Austrian or German settler.
There's such an influx of German settlers in Texas in the 1830s through 1870s or whatever. That Arnold's at the age where, like, he could deliver a performance on par with, like, a Eastwood Unforgiven performance right
now. Yeah, like, he's in the twilight of his life.
Yeah, but, like, getting his family here to, like, set them up on the good foot.
Yeah.
Do the bad thing.
Very awesome.
So, anyways, true lies, I guess. So, let me catch you up as to what's happened in the last episode. Harry and Helen were taken captive and taken to an airstrip where they boarded a small jet with none other than Juno Skinner. Wow. Helen immediately blows their cover. Dunce. Juno has had them tranquilized and took them to a small island in the Florida Keys where Z's is hiding out with four nuclear warheads put inside what we think are priceless, like, Persian statues.
They belong in a museum.
Belongs in a museum. He reveals his plan to force the U.S. out of the Persian Gulf by blowing up random American cities, starting with the island they're on as a show of force. Harry, loopy on truth serum, is about to be tortured, but he frees himself and Helen and starts picking Aziz's camp apart, one terrorist at a time, but not before Aziz arms a warhead with a timer for 90 minutes. All hell breaks loose as Harry tries to stop Aziz from mobilizing. However, Harry is neutralized in a giant explosion. Trucks roll away with the warheads. Juno abducts Helen, and we're set up for an epic last chapter.
Are we not? I am fucking stoked, dude.
My nipples are hard.
So where are we?
So I'll tell you. The Crimson Jihad caravan is rolling out on U.S. Highway 1, a.k.a. the 7 Mile Bridge. Ever been on that bridge?
No.
Ever been to the Keys? No?
No. I want to bad, dude. Do you fly into the Keys? Do you fly into Miami and then drive down?
Fly into Miami. I don't. I you might be able to fly.
I mean, I'm sure they have an airstrip there.
I think Key West has an airport now. Yeah. But
I want to drive those roads though.
Yeah, when I went, so I've got family in like Fort Myers, south of Fort Myers area, a little place called the Isle of Capri near Marco Island on the Gulf side. And when I was in elementary school, we went down for a vacation, drove from Georgia to Florida, long ass drive. And then we loaded up in a caravan. It was my dad's cousin and his family, and then our family. We loaded up into two cars and we drove down to first the Everglades and then the rest of the way down to the Keys and went like snorkeling and stuff.
How old were you?
Almirada.
You remember?
Probably like fourth or fifth grade. Yeah.
You remember it?
Oh, yeah. I remember it vividly.
That's awesome.
It was really,
I bet
really
a lot's
cool.
changed since then.
The island where they live has not changed hardly at all.
Fourth or fifth grade, you probably would have been like not far off from the time this movie was being made.
So this was 94?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was actually probably around that time.
Yeah, that's rad.
Yeah. I was completely oblivious of this movie except for the trailers until like a couple of years later.
Yeah, sure.
Because I feel like we went to movies, but we didn't go to like R-rated things.
No, that makes sense.
So yeah, Gibb and the good guys arrive by helicopter and observe all the carnage. Harry emerges from the smoke. I thought this looked like your work. There's no time for small talk. I'll brief you in the air. We got to get the fuck out of here.
Was it weird to you that all the guys who arrived on the helicopters were all wearing like dress shirts?
Yeah.
Not tactical gear or t-shirts or whatever.
We got to know that they're agents, I guess.
I read a cool thing as you just said, they were on the 7 Mile Bridge, which they were able to shoot on, I think, because there was a new bridge being built.
Okay.
Like alongside. But when they would block traffic.
Right.
On the new bridge where they were filming stuff while they were doing explosions and whatnot. Right. So each time they did a take, they would hold traffic back at the beginning of the bridge on either end, and they had like these hot babes giving everyone free Pepsi. Like Pepsi was
the choice of a new generation.
There was a little bit of Pepsi product placement within the movie, but it was subtle. It wasn't like some of the other films.
Was it
we've
Return
done.
Of the Killer Tomatoes?
No, it wasn't Return of the. It wasn't Tango and Cash, nor fucking Over the Top.
Right.
Jesus Christ, Over the Top's product.
Sports cream,
Duracell, Fujitsu, Maglite, Carl's Jr.
Oh, my God. Alka-Seltzer.
Everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's very cool.
Pepsi
girls.
Hot chicks.
Yeah.
Handing out Pepsi.
It makes the waiting go down easier. So, yeah, they're like, I'll brief you in the air. They jump on the chopper. They're getting out of there. Harry and Gibb are working the phones to warn everybody that there's imminent danger, a nuclear blast is coming.
Like, I got the White House on the line.
Right. They're calling Omega. They're calling the president. Call the president.
Call the president.
He calls this a bright boy alert when what he actually means is Broken Arrow.
Dude, we should talk about Broken Arrow on one of these.
We should.
I just watched it on the flight down here. Holy shit, that movie is rad.
Is it rife for treatment?
It's equal parts amazing and like, what is Travolta doing right now?
Perfect, because that's how I feel about a lot of what we do on
this
show.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So when he asks whoever is on the other end of the transmission if they understand, they'd probably say, no, what do you mean by bright boy? Gibb says the Marines can send a couple of Harrier jets.
Yeah.
Juno is pouring a glass of champagne in the limo. I like it. Got to unwind from all the stress. And I do love some bubbles.
It's daybreak. It was night when they were fighting on there. It's early. All I'm saying is it's early in the day to be popping the champagne.
Please. No, you can pop
champagne.
Have
you stayed up all night, though?
No,
yeah,
look.
Maybe not.
Every year on Christmas morning, the first thing that we do is everyone convenes in the living room, and now that we're all adults, we take part two.
Uh-huh.
But, like, we all have a glass of champagne and my Nana's sausage balls.
Not a mimosa or something?
If people want, I drink straight champagne. I don't want a mimosa. Don't spoil it with orange juice.
Okay, fair.
I do, but a glass of champagne first thing in the morning, it's actually kind of great.
If you're going to get back on the dating scene, you're going to have to learn to like mimosas.
I love mimosas.
That's like the brunch staple.
I'm not going to do brunch.
You're going to have a hard time out there.
I don't care. I'll find a girl that's okay with not having.
What like, do you like to have breakfast though and then lunch?
I love
you just
breakfast.
Don't like to muddle the two?
I'm not a huge fan of day drinking.
Oh, I love day drinking, dude.
It makes me sleepy and it makes me just want to go to bed for the rest of
Bro,
the day.
Bro, we're day drinking right now.
Yeah, but I'm amped up because of True Lies.
Fair enough.
Yeah, just day drinking social, like if I'm out by a pool or something like that is one thing, but like hanging out and day drinking, I just start to get really tired.
But the thing about brunch
is that like I don't like to feel super like full of food, and I don't like to eat a lot of things that are on a brunch menu because it's tons of carbs. It's very heavy. You're pouring like champagne or Bloody Mary on top of that. And I'm just like usually if I go to brunch, I end up ordering something that I could have made at home for free. Eggs and toast and some fruit or some shit.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, screw this. Now that said, if I go to a place that's like doing brunch and it's like they've got a full like English fry up or something like that, or a full English or a full Irish, I'm like, hells yeah. If they've got that, if they've got like the blood sausage and stuff, baked beans and some rashers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm all about that.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Anyway, I'm into Juno pouring herself some champs. Anyway, then we cut back to the Harrier jets arrive, and Harry gives them the green light to engage.
So this movie had real Harriers with the cooperation of the U.S. Marine Corps.
Right.
Supposedly renting the three Harriers for the amount of time they used them cost the production $100,000.
Right.
That's just fucking rad. Yeah.
Are you, aside from Top Gun, a jet guy?
Oh, dude.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to be a fighter pilot. When I was in my youth, I was like, oh, this is the fucking coolest shit in the world. Yeah. I used to like draw planes.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
That's
awesome. I didn't know Harriers were a thing though until this movie.
Yeah.
But they've been around since like the Vietnam War.
Right. So my uncle and all his cousins are encyclopedic in their knowledge of like military weaponry and war machines in general. It's like they can look at something and my uncle will be like, they used that in World War II. They used that in Vietnam. They used this. This was built in the 70s. It's crazy. Like
I did used to know, like, oh, that's an F-14, an F-15, an F-16, an F-18, F-21.
Right.
But I never was up on Harriers.
He could tell you all about, like, carrier planes and stuff like that. Like
old
jets.
School.
Yeah, yeah. So a Harrier jump jet capable of vertical takeoff and landing, which
that's
is
rad,
sweet.
Dude.
I guess they used them because they needed to get something in this movie that could hover.
Well, I've never seen this plane on film before.
I haven't either.
Before this movie. Yeah. That made me think, like, holy shit, this seems like fucking space age technology, and it was old. It was 30 years old.
Yeah. I guess built in Great Britain primarily, the manufacturers. Yeah, that's what I saw. So they make a strafing run with guns, and the lead truck is annihilated in a ball of flame.
Dude, I mean, obviously this plane was not shooting live ammo.
Right.
But it looks so fucking good.
It looks amazing.
Like the squibs they had out in the water.
Yeah.
They were blown up, and then
nuts to me to think about, like, the squibs in the water and stuff. Like,
they line them up, and
you
can imagine if this thing were to shoot its guns and hit a vehicle, the vehicle is just obliterated.
Agreed.
It's awesome.
So the guys in the bread van launch a rocket at the Harrier, missing badly. And the discharge from the rocket propels one of their guys through the windshield, and he gets run over.
Like a comedy moment.
Yeah. He Cindy'd that shit.
Commando. That's what I said. Shades of Commando here.
That's a Commando move. It's gruesome and a rough way to go.
He got ran over as well.
It's gruesome. So Harry gives the command to take out the bridge with missiles. Yeah, just take it out. The pilot asks if the missiles will set off the nukes, which is a fair question. And Harry says no, then makes a face to Gibb to indicate that he hopes he's right, which is awesome. Arnold's like,
I was thinking, like, so maybe he is not sure, but I'm thinking even if it did make the nukes go off out on the bridge in the middle of nowhere, that's a net win for the good guys.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it neutralizes the threat.
So now we're going to get into, like, some – when we say we get down to the nitty-gritty, we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty here. So the Harrier takes out the bridge with four missiles, and it also takes out the other truck. That effect is sweet.
It's one of the coolest things I had ever seen at that point.
So that's a miniature causeway that they built.
Yeah. But it was like a quarter size, or it was like – it was a miniature, but it was still pretty massive.
100 meters long. And about a meter and a half wide and 3 meters tall. So for us Americans and Brits that are using that imperial
translate,
system,
my friend.
It's 328 feet long, about 5 feet wide, and about 10 feet tall.
So they just went out in the real open ocean somewhere, shallow, and built this thing, assembled it.
I'm like, my nipples are getting harder just like thinking about the attention to detail.
It's probably the best model shot I've ever seen. There's some awesome stuff in the Lord of the Rings movies, too.
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings fucks so hard as far as, like, Peter Jackson was like, I'm building scale models about, like, the fact that Orthanc and Barad-dûr, the actual tower where Sauron was, like, that was an explosion that they rigged and the tower was falling and they did the whole, like, but this, for me, is on par because it looks... Like, when you look at that, it's like, that's a fantasy world. You're looking at this, and I was like, I was sure it was real.
I was positive they just blew the bridge up.
I did,
too. Because, you know, whatever.
They're building a new bridge.
Yeah.
So, apparently, the pyrotech for the effect named Joe Viscosil, or Viscosil, won an Oscar for Independence Day.
Okay.
Which he should have, because that
I bet you that
fucked.
White House blowing up was also
was
a model.
It was a model. Yeah. The bridge was mostly made of plaster, so they could only use so much explosive material to avoid reducing the model to complete powder.
Okay.
Because they still needed it to break up
they
in chunks.
Needed it to, they needed it to wind up in the end looking exactly like the existing bridge looks.
And they said if they rigged it up too much, the model would explode to powder and instead it wouldn't look like chunks of concrete.
Sure.
So they had to space the explosives out at strategic points along the bridge model and put them in tubes so that when they went off, building material like rebar could be seen.
Incredible.
Like tiny rebar.
The attention to detail.
Yeah. And that was only one element of what ended up making all that possible. It took 3.5 weeks to get the truck in the shot to land the way that they wanted it to land.
There, I assume you watch the same thing as me. There's an amazing YouTube video
with
the guy. He's saying, oh, yeah, we had already shot all the full-scale stuff, so we needed our model to match exactly what the full-scale would look like.
3.5 weeks of trying to get just the truck to land.
Because I think initially it had been something like James Cameron wanted the truck to fly off into the water. And they said, well, if it's going straight along the bridge, it's going to land on the other side of the gap in the bridge.
Right.
And sure enough, when they did the model shot, it did look like that. And James Cameron was like, that's still so fucking great. That's how we're gonna do it that way. Yeah. Watch that YouTube video. Google True Lies special effects or something like this.
You will not
on
be
the
sorry.
YouTube. Yeah,
you won't be sorry for it. Long. So the bread van skids to a stop, teetering on the edge.
Yeah.
I love the pelican coming landing on the roof.
The guy driving that van was like our goofy camcorder operator.
Right.
And they're like all looking at each other like,
we lived.
We live. We made it. Yeah. It's a great comedy beat in the middle of all this crazy action.
And then a pelican.
A pelican.
Look at the pelican. Comes and lands on the hood, causing the van to fall over the edge. Why they aren't jumping off the truck is beyond me, but whatever.
The driver would have needed to be the first guy to get off, right?
Yeah.
And I think they were still like, holy shit, we made it. Yeah, and the pelican fucked their shit up.
They were excited to be alive. So elsewhere, the limo is traveling well behind all this carnage. The driver is radioing ahead, and Juno's yelling at the driver.
Yeah, she
is. And while this is happening, Helen sees her opening and grabs for the gun. They wrestle. The driver gets shot, because of course he does. And now the limo is just like careening all over the road.
It's a cat fight, man.
Out of control.
It's a cat fight.
Cat fight ensues. It's vicious. The look on Tia Carrera's face is, I mean, she's enraged as one would be in a fight to the death.
It's a clawing for your life.
But Helen winning by smacking Juno with the champagne bottle.
Oof.
That's what she gets for drinking first thing in the morning.
That looked like it hurt, dude.
That champagne bottles are thick.
Yeah, I think
wine bottles in general.
Yeah, dude.
Two shots with the bottle to the head.
Mm.
That's concussion city right there. Yikes. The limo passes through the flames of the exploded truck that we mentioned before.
I felt like that's a borderline miracle they were able to pass through the wreckage without just crashing.
Agreed. Always. Anytime anything passes through wreckage unscathed and just comes out on the top, like on the other side, and there's like maybe the tires are on fire or something, I'm not buying it. Harry orders the helicopter pilot to get down to the limo. Take it down. Let's go.
Yeah, get down now.
In Arnold's. He's hanging out the side of the helicopter,
Rad.
Dangling from the landing skid. The chopper wouldn't be equipped with some kind of harness or rope or a pulley or anything.
Well, surely the stuntman was on some harness. But yes, you would think there would be straps and ropes and stuff in the cabin.
Not just him hanging off the side of the thing.
But it's a rad looking stunt.
Yeah, maybe they wouldn't have had time to get it. I don't know. But Helen is sticking out of the sunroof, trying to grab Harry's hand. He's almost got her, but the limo hits the guardrail. Son of a bitch.
Of course it does.
He gets her at the very last second, just as Juno is waking up to witness her own demise, which is, it's sad because
she sees that they're about to go. She's like, oh shit.
So they're able to fly to safety. That is a sweet shot of her dangling, both the first-person angle and the shot from the side. And I read that she agreed to do it, like that shot.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll dangle out the side because James Cameron told her, I'll be hanging out filming you in the first person.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be filming you. And so they, like, did it. I just loved the thought of the relationship, the trust relationship between them as professionals.
Amazing. And that sequence was shot on her birthday.
That's so cool.
It's I bet that's a birthday you would never forget.
No, it's like, if you're willing to hang out of the side of the helicopter, I'm willing to hang out of the side of the helicopter.
You watch it and you're like, wow, that looks really real. And then you find out later because it's real.
Yeah.
It's like some of that Mission Impossible shit where you're like, wow, that looks real.
That looks like him jumping off a thing.
That looks like him hanging on the outside of a building or him, like, dangling off a plane. And it's like, yeah, because they somehow found a way to
him,
do
like,
it for
free
real.
Basing off this. Or the, or like
free basing.
Or him free climbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah.
Helicopters and Harriers are landing just as the bomb's about to go off. The shots of the Harriers landing vertically is be cool. Like, I love that.
I can't say enough about how cool the Harriers is.
Yeah, I can't either.
It's like, yeah, that's like, I am stunned. Yeah, that's never been on film before.
Human ingenuity built that.
It's incredible.
We sent a man to the moon, and we built a plane that can take off vertically. Harry pulls her wedding ring back to the correct finger, which is a sweet touch.
Yeah.
And they share a big kiss right as the world ends.
So the marriage is, again, healthy.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
everything is all is forgotten now. Yeah. All is are forgiven. Everything is forgiven.
Look, as the bomb explodes, that's a big sobering moment for everyone. Gibb calls Harry over and tells him Aziz is in Miami.
I was thinking, like, how big of news would that be? Like,
it'd be
multiple islands in the Florida Keys destroyed by nuclear blast.
It'd be as big as the World Trade Center getting bombed, I think.
Yeah.
A nuclear bomb going off on American soil is going to be huge news. Yeah, so he's saying Aziz is in Miami in a high rise. He's rendezvoused with a dozen more bad guys on the 20th floor, but they've got it surrounded by SWAT and cops. But, oh, yeah, the bad guys have got your daughter.
I said it in the last episode, and I'll say it again. Right. It makes no sense that the good guys would not already have scooped up Dana and taken her someplace
safe.
She would
be in a bunker in D.C.
Yeah.
100%.
Totally. But it makes for a, you know, heightened action, heightened suspense in our final chapter here.
Harry immediately flips into action, grabs a walkie, and commandeers one of the Harriers. I love Tom Arnold. Here we go.
It's good exposition.
Yeah.
He says, Harry, it's been 10 years since you've flown one of these things.
I love that. Harry says if he breaks it, they can take it out of his pay. We already know that Harry can't afford a suite at a hotel. So as Harry's shutting the cockpit, Gibb yells that they have a man on the inside.
Good thing. He's delivered a lot of exposition in the last little bit, and it's helpful as well.
Helen gives him a, what are you doing? Look, and he winks at her. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here. And he takes off very awkwardly. Like, with Gibb providing great commentary.
That was pretty fucking funny. He's like, he's a little rusty, but that is a trademark Tasker takeoff. I got to be honest with you. It's like riding a bike. You never forget, really.
It's so good. Finally gets it airborne and flies off. And we cut to Miami, where Aziz is enjoying watching himself on every TV channel.
He's flipping through the channels like, I'm on every channel. This is fucking great.
He's feeling his vibe. He's feeling this flow, baby.
He's getting off on it.
Big time. He's having a power trip where he's feeling that hubris is creeping in, Kevin. meanwhile, Dana's there. She's saying, like, I need to use the bathroom. Aziz sticks his arming key in the device and then wanders off. Why? I don't know.
He is the most, like we talked about, he's the most competent of the terrorists. But if we're being honest, he's still a buffoon.
Yeah.
Like, he just like, let me just stick the key in here and leave it unattended.
A terrorist will still never be as smart as the good guy, Kevin.
I guess.
So Dana stares the key down. A news crew that Aziz has demanded has arrived, and as they're being frisked, we see that one of them is Faisal, and he's, like, posing as their cameraman.
Right.
So that's their inside man that gives
inside the inside man.
Right. Thus, the Harrier approacheth. Aziz is saying to the camera that the world has seen their power and that he can kill 2 million people with just the turn of a key.
Yes.
The news anchor asks what key, and Aziz sees that the key is missing.
I love that moment, dude.
Aziz is like, who took the key?
Who has taken the key?
So we see,
who do you think?
Yeah, Dana's kleptomania skills have come to good use, it turns out.
I didn't even think about
come
that.
Come full circle. Yes. So in the commotion, Faisal takes out a gun that was hidden inside the camera, which that's pretty sweet, and kills three guys. Like, nifty shooting, Faisal.
Yeah, Faisal, a fucking hero.
Yeah. Meanwhile, up on the roof, Aziz and a few goons chase Dana, who's climbing up on a crane. You're going the wrong way, Dana. Harry is arriving in Miami. He radios to Faisal, who has a walkie hidden in the camera.
I thought to myself, imagine if he had radioed before Faisal revealed himself.
Just a couple
himself.
Of seconds ago.
All of a sudden, you get the voice coming in. Hey, Faisal, this is Harry. I'm coming
if
in.
You, Faisal, you're like, la, 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 la,
la, la, la. Hey, you do not hear this.
Faisal tells him he's on the 21st floor, that it's clear, but there are a dozen baddies on the 20th floor and that Dana's on the roof.
Right. What I was thinking, if there's a dozen bad guys one floor below, then all the gunfire that just happened would have drawn
right.
them
they
upstairs.
They would have alerted them to it.
Totally.
I don't know. Aziz is pursuing
Wait,
Dana.
Hold on.
Okay.
Harry says, give me that address again. What? How do you find an address via jet
in your Harrier
fighter?
Jet? I'll plug it into Google.
First of all, how familiar is he with the street addresses of Miami?
Well, couldn't they just say, look for this building with a crane?
If you're in a jet, having the numerical street address is not going to help
you. Not
going to
help at all. So outside, Aziz is pursuing Dana out onto the arm of the crane.
Yeah.
Why isn't she walking on the walkway?
That was my thought. They're on the out. There's a little catwalk on the inside of the crane, but she's like on the outside. That makes me. I have like a heights thing.
Yeah.
That makes me nervous.
It gives me a vasovagal response.
It reminded me of the beginning of Casino Royale when they're up on a crane, and I'm like, this it's got my anxiety ratcheted up.
Dana threatens to drop the key, and Aziz does that thing where a bad guy tries to make nice. Great acting from Eliza Dushku right here, though.
He says, give me the key and I promise you won't be hurt. But the dude is threatening to blow up the entire city.
Yeah. So nothing he says can be trusted.
The real hero move for Dana would have been just to straight drop the key.
Yeah, I agree. What's he going to do?
What are you going to do now?
Crawl out and
you
try to kill
shoot,
her?
You can shoot me, but
yeah, come
you're
kill
not going to get
guess.
The key back.
Yeah, she says no, and his face changes completely. He
that was some rad acting from Art
he did
Malick.
Not appreciate being called a wacko.
His face went from, like, smiling sort of friendly to, like, just stone cold,
I'm gonna
emotionless.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved like, that performance.
Killer.
Move.
Meanwhile, the goons on the 20th floor hear a rumbling, and here's Harry and the Harrier rising up from below, and he opens fire. He just wipes out the entire floor.
The way that this sequence was filmed, like, the production of it is incredible.
I agree.
They had a full-size replica Harrier suspended from a crane on the roof of the building and with a stuntman in it, and they were like blowing shit up.
That's amazing.
Imagine what those bullets from that thing would do if it hit a human body. It'd just like cut you in half.
Yeah. It would remove an entire portion of your body for sure.
The dudes were getting hit and they were flying backwards. It was
yeah,
like,
makes sense.
It demolished that building.
They stood no chance. Aziz signals for his guys on the roof to get in the helicopter and take off. Aziz has pursued Dana to the end of the crane arm by this time. She slips and falls, and she's, like, dangling.
Yeah.
But Harry, here comes Harry and the Harrier. He's, like, hovering below her and, like, urging, jump down! Jump down, Dana!
Daddy will catch you!
Yeah, Dana and Aziz are both in disbelief, and boy, howdy, why wouldn't you be? Aziz starts shooting at Harry, breaking out the glass of the cockpit.
Which is, glass of a cockpit of a fighter jet is bulletproof as far as a handheld gun would
right.
go.
Agreed.
If the fighter jet, another fighter jet were shooting you with a massive
right,
machine
with a
gun,
giant
that would
ass
fuck
round.
You up. But yeah, something
bullet.
That Aziz
ding,
is holding
ding.
Would just bounce off.
Agreed. Yeah. Harry accidentally bumps the crane with the Harrier's tail. Aziz drops the gun, which catches its strap on the Harrier. Of
this is a very elaborately staged
very,
scene.
Very, very, very. Dana's still hanging on by her fingertips.
How long, we were talking, how long could you hold on by your fingertips like that, do you think?
Mm.
I would last probably 10 seconds or less.
I was thinking that I could maybe do like 20, like 30 seconds would probably be a max. But also, like,
your adrenaline would be up.
Yeah, but under duress and like death is imminent. Like, I just don't know. I'd be freaking out.
Yeah.
I would have filled my pants with crap. The baddies in the helicopter start shooting at the Harrier, which, why?
I guess, I don't know. I guess so.
Harry spins the jet around and shoots at the helicopter and chases it away.
It's a cool shot, though, the way that...
very.
Because you're seeing in the far distance his rounds are hitting out in the ocean.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah. So Harry pulls back underneath Dana, who's, like, barely hanging on.
Fingertips.
Just a second away from dying. Aziz grabs at her, and she drops onto the nose of the Harrier.
Yeah, as this was all happening, Arnold was delivering amazing, just memorable line of,
right.
Jump, daddy will catch you.
Thank God she didn't land so that her hands went like right into the shattered, jagged glass of the cockpit. Harry pulls away, but Aziz jumps off the crane onto the jet, too. So now we got some hitchhikers.
I'll say, first of all, Aziz is fearless.
Crazy. See, crazy.
Also, he's just lost in this moment.
Yeah.
If he gets the key back from Dana now, it doesn't matter because he's not in the building anymore.
No. And also, how's he going to get off the plane? He can't steal the plane.
He has lost the battle. Now, even if he can get the key back, his plan is done.
Yeah, he's fucked. Dana starts to slip off the nose of the plane, but Harry helps pull her back to safety. Harry's got a hand on the vertical lever, a hand on her, and they're spinning around, and Aziz is creeping up. So there's a lot happening.
Aziz is like coming with a knife.
And no one is breathing. I haven't breathed in minutes. Like, I'm just like breathless watching all this happen.
The effects on this portion of the movie are incredible because they look pretty fucking real.
The stunt people hanging off the edge of the plane, the plane itself, it just looks realistic. Aziz comes at Harry from behind with a knife. Harry's flying the plane, you guys.
Yes. Like,
and the two grapple. Jesus, it's a lot to handle.
How Aziz isn't falling off the plane is beyond me.
His adrenaline's up too, I guess. Harry accidentally backs the tail of the plane through the windows of the office building.
There's like a janitor or something in there with headphones on, cleaning.
All his hard work for naught. the jolt throws Aziz backward, and he takes a shot in the nuts as he straddles the tail of the Harrier.
Absolutely. I feel like there's no way in hell the plane doesn't just fall out of the sky at this point.
I think at this point, like, the stress of, like, as many things that it's hit and banged into, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's something's going to give at this point.
It would go off its balance and just, like, propel itself into the ground or something.
Right. But then Aziz sees the gun, smiling with glee, he grabs at it, which was miraculously hanging from the Harrier by that strap.
That's right.
He pops up and runs across the top of the Harrier towards Harry and Dana. And he says to land the plane or he'll shoot Dana. And Harry's like, he like nods yes, then signals to Dana that he's got other plans.
That was some Temple of Doom shit.
It very much was.
When he gave him
like
a signal on the bridge.
Cut the bridge.
Like, hold on tight.
Short round. Don't cheat. Tum-tum-tum-tum-tum. I don't remember what he says. He's like, I don't speak Cantonese.
Hang on, lady. We go for a ride.
Oh, my God.
Fucking
it's either keto nuts. He crazy. So she holds on tight. He banks the plane suddenly, which sends Aziz sliding off the side. But his bandolier, like, snags on the missile at the tip of the wing.
Oh,
it's just
amazing.
Like, so Harry, seeing the Crimson Jihad helicopters now, like, it's like through the shot out 20th floor of the building.
Yes.
And Aziz, disoriented, like, yanks himself around and sees the missile. And then we haven't had too many kiss off lines in this movie, to be fair. And so Harry arms the missile.
That's not really James Cameron's style.
No. He's not D'Souza.
D'Souza, he is not.
So Harry arms the missile and then you're fired.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That ranks pretty high for me on the list of all time Arnold kiss off lines.
I agree because it's short,
top
it's sweet.
Five or ten.
It's not super corny. He shoots the missile through the building with Aziz strapped to it, which takes down the chopper full of his own men.
That was an incredible effects shot.
Yeah, it really was. Like, yeah. There's a camera strapped to that missile or
yeah,
whatever.
It was awesome looking.
Yeah, there's a massive midair explosion, debris falling below onto cars, people jumping out of the way. Somehow Harry lands the plane. I love that he bumps into the police car.
That also was an incredible shot, but I think that was the plane hung on wires from a crane.
Right,
the model
had to have been
being lowered onto the ground, but it looked fucking
It looked
awesome.
As real as anything else that had happened with a Harrier. Harry tries to reassure his severely traumatized daughter that everything's okay and that it's all
right?
over. Dana seems to look at dear old dad in a whole new light, which is great.
Yes.
Then we see a newscast showing Harry carrying Dana into a car and speculates about like what government / military agency was responsible for ending the terrorist
Even
threat.
Even like the news footage never got a good look at Harry's face, like his cover is still intact.
Right. Cut to 1 year later at the Tasker House. we're all just chilling around the dinner table and it's a thumb war.
That's another, like, amazing Arnold face, just the laughter and glee with which he's thumb-warring with his daughter and
wife. Having the best time ever. Nothing brings a family together like trauma, Kevin.
we joke, and rightfully so.
Right.
But the Tasker family seems to have recovered nicely, and they're all closer than ever.
They're coping well for a family that's experienced 15 years of deception, religious fanaticism, kidnapping, and attempted nuclear holocaust.
Absolutely.
I just gotta say, I have never heard the second part of their little pre-fight song, 5, 6, 7, 8, try to keep your thumb straight.
In your life, you never heard
that? No, I've never heard that.
Oh, I have heard that.
I just like 1, 2, 3, 4, I declare thumb war. I've never heard the second
part.
Oh,
I have.
That
was familiar to me. Guess I just thumb fight differently than you, buddy.
That's okay. We grew up in different Georgia cities.
Definitely. It's a regional thing.
That's right. Like just mere like 15, 20 miles away.
Surely.
A phone call comes for Boris and Doris. I love the selective lighting technique around Helen's eyes, that old film noir
it's
effect.
It's like extra bright stripe across her eyes.
I love that. It's cool. So, like, film noir. Cut to a formal dinner party a la the beginning of the movie.
Yes, it's like
a similar
state dinner
vibe.
Type of thing.
Yeah. Harry and Helen are undercover. Gib and Faisal are out in the van. Helen spots Simon, now a waiter, up to his old tricks.
It's fucking awesome. He's like macking on this gorgeous brunette.
What's he saying?
He's saying like, you know, I'm undercover. If things get crazy,
if it gets rough, just stay low until it's
low
over.
And I'll find you later. He's stroking that champagne bottle like suggestively.
Alec. Yeah. Oh, Paxton, what a damn treasure. They approach him, seeming to threaten to shoot him, and he pisses his pants and runs. Oh God. What a clown.
His face work is unbelievable, like the faces that he
it's
is able to make.
Flawless. The tango music from the beginning begins again.
Yes.
And Harry and Helen tango as Gib complains over the radio.
The routine, Harry and Helen's dance routine was not as well choreographed as...
She looks a little more wooden than Tia Carrera did.
I don't think she probably didn't have the months of training that other guys had.
But I love the unspoken movie rule that only one couple gets to be tangoing at a time.
Let's is that
like,
right?
It's just like in
every
Everyone movie.
Else is just
like,
watching.
It's like in the Smith, like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Yeah. Only one couple at a time can tango.
When you're
so
when you're dragging your partner around the floor on her sliding around,
beautiful.
That kind of makes sense.
The tango's a sexy dance. But anyway, they are two agents not doing their jobs and wasting taxpayer money. That's what they are. And that. There's an extended ball. That scene lasts for like half the credits.
I love the little Gib moment at the end. He's like, why am I always stuck in the van? Next time you guys stay in the van.
Sure. Him and Faisal can tango.
It's a, ending on a comedy note, which is appropriate, I think, for this movie.
For this movie, for sure. And that, friends, is The Truest Lies.
Yeah. I read some, this movie, fucking badass.
Yeah.
The production was a grueling, exhausting
thing. I can't imagine.
As most James Cameron movies, I think, tend to be, but it ran way behind the schedule. I had read where Tia Carrera was originally, like, slated for 7 weeks of shooting.
Right.
And her shit turned into 7 months.
What?
Like, they kept needing her to come back, I guess, and shoot more and more shit.
You know what? She crazy. Was probably glad for those phone calls to come in, being like, hell yeah, I'll take James Cameron-sized paycheck.
Yeah, hell yeah. I read another thing where Bill Paxton, like, went and filmed a whole other movie in between filming parts of this movie.
That makes total sense. Yeah.
Oh, and I also saw Roseanne used to call the set all the time, like demanding for Tom Arnold to come up and see her on the Roseanne TV show set. That's fucking nuts, dude.
Roseanne.
It was like, bonkers, well, that man. Marriage was dissolving as this movie was being filmed.
It was
filmed.
A coke-fueled shit show.
At the time it was made, it was the most expensive film ever made.
That's awesome. I believe it.
Then I feel like within a year or two, Waterworld probably came out, and that was even more
expensive.
Yeah.
Movies on the water always, like, are shit anyway.
There's just so much
that
can go wrong.
But this movie, from start to finish, everything looks high-end. Every stunt, every effect looks top dollar.
That's what I always say about James Cameron, like, love him or hate him, Avatar, Titanic. Every bit of what that movie cost, you see it on the screen.
Yeah.
Like, it looks, it might cost $200 million, and it looks like it cost $200
million. I did not care for the story of Avatar, because it was basically Dances with Wolves with aliens.
Totally.
I didn't jive with it. It just wasn't my deal.
Technically.
But it looked and sounded amazing.
Right. The effects still, to this day, I feel like, look realistic as anything I've ever seen.
Are you excited about the new Avatar movie?
It's been so long that the heat is gone.
Yeah.
But I still, I'm curious to see them.
I'm interested to see, like, what direction they take it. Because it's like, how can the stakes be any higher for that civilization, for that mythos? Anyway.
I'm curious for sure.
In 1994, the year this movie came out, The Lion King was box office king.
Yeah.
Followed closely on the heels was Forrest Gump. Then True Lies was number three.
That's impressive.
Amazing.
This movie didn't do as good as other James Cameron movies have done. But, yeah, number three in any year is a feat.
Other honorable mentions in the action genre of Arnold for that year were Speed.
Oh, hell yes.
Pulp Fiction, not really action, but enough so that it deserves a mention. It was number 10 that year.
That's impressive to me.
Clear and Present Danger.
That movie fucks.
Stargate. Then number is like either that. Is like 25 or 26. I loved Stargate. Was great. I'm a James Spader Kurt Russell fan anyway. But then Street Fighter was 25 or 26. The D'Souza Van Damme disaster. So that's kind of funny.
Jesus fucking Christ. Yes.
And that's that.
I got a couple other things.
Hit it.
So there was a lot of backlash after this movie came out about the fact that the bad guys are being portrayed as Arabs.
Right.
There's a weird little note at the end of the credits of the film that says, you know, this film does not represent the actions or beliefs of any particular culture or religion.
Okay.
Which you don't usually get, which I can appreciate. Like, I think he was trying to say, hey, I'm not trying to make waves. Like, they're just the bad guys. It has nothing to do with their religion.
Right.
Like, yeah. Anybody can be bad.
Well, I mean, yeah, they didn't say anything about Islam in the movie, did they?
All they wanted was the troops out of the Middle East.
Yeah.
Also,
it sounded more political than it did faith-based.
I read where around the year 2000, there was a sequel in development.
Uh-huh.
But then September 11th happened, and you know, the sequel sort of fell apart, and James Cameron said, you know, you can't really do like a lighthearted terrorist movie anymore.
No.
And no. I think he's right. I can't remember. I mean, there hasn't been anything sort of like this.
Fuck, Homeland 24. Everything is like the stakes are, they couldn't be higher.
It's hyper realistic.
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh, it's a lighthearted romp.
Well, that's how you keep Americans convinced that all Muslims are bad, too. So.
supposedly, there's been reports that there's like, someone's working on just taking the premise of this movie and making it into like a series.
Interesting.
Like a True Lies series, a husband and wife spy team series or something along those lines. Apparently it was in the works for Disney Plus.
Huh.
But I don't know that it's one of those things that's been in development for years.
It doesn't seem like that would have legs to me.
It would cost a ton.
It just doesn't seem like, like Americans, like the little bit of that show that I saw was really, really good.
Oh, dude, you didn't ever watch all of the Americans?
No.
Oh, you should get on that.
Okay, maybe that'll be the next thing that I do. Yeah.
It doesn't have huge action set pieces. And,
right, it's more like a John Le Carre thing rather than like a big action.
It's a spy. It's a spy work.
It's more like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my jam. That's I love stuff like that.
Oh yeah, dude, you got to get on the Americans.
But I feel like to make this movie into a series, that it would get tired really fast.
Yeah. How many adventures can you just whisk off to and leave your kid at home or
Boris
whatever else
Norris.
Is happening? Boris and Norris.
I don't know.
Oh, man. I fucking love this movie, though.
It's a lot of fun. It really is. And again, for the kinds of movies that we give the 6 DOS treatment, this one rocks the shit.
Yeah. Well, it's got something for everyone, this movie.
It really does. It's a family film. It's an action thriller. It's a comedy.
It didn't have any cute animals, sadly. But
no,
you know.
It didn't. Well, it had that dog, but that dog was
the dog was kind of
Chinese crested something. I don't even know.
I want a dog that looks like a dog.
I don't want a dog that looks like a rat. But all dogs need love, Kevin.
Yes, this is true. I mean, it had the horse...
Yeah, that's true. It had the horse. The horse was cool. The horse was lovable, even if that dog was not.
Oh man, fuck! We made it through another one, my friend.
We did. We raise our glasses and our cans or whatever to you.
Yeah, whatever you're drinking over
intrepid
there,
intrepid listeners. I finished off that neon moon. Neon moon, and I guess we're gonna hang it up, and we're gonna be back next week with all new content.
Yeah, dude, I want to eat some delicious Texas barbecue.
Yeah, we got some Gatlin's barbecue on the way, and we're just gonna feed ourselves and then pass out. So
absolutely, so we'll be back.